This is the Word of God found in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. Romans, the 8th chapter, starting with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I just want to try to answer a very simple question. And the question is, does God love the bodies of his children? And the short answer is yes. But I want to give you some scripture. And this seemed like a good starting point to me. Many times when I'm asked to try to preach the gospel at a funeral, there's things I do hope to accomplish. One, I do like to remember the person that's gone on to be with the Lord because they touched our lives. And a funeral is for what we call closure, is to say goodbye for a while. But I also like to worship in preaching the gospel and telling the people that are gathered the truth about what happens when one of God's children dies. And the truth about that is the spirit and soul of God's child goes to be in the presence of God immediately at physical death. And yet their bodies are committed to the ground in burial or cremation or some other thing. And that awaits the day of the resurrection. But then God intends to raise the body as well, reunited with the spirit and soul. And so we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 where Paul writes, I pray God that your whole man, body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus. So you've got that. And what happens when a child of God is born again is the Lord, in a sovereign act of spiritual creation, sends his spirit into the heart of that human being. And the Bible not only calls that a work of spiritual creation and regeneration and new birth, it also calls it a circumcision of the heart. Now, the word circumcision, it comes from Latin into English. And circum means circle, means around. And cision means cut. It means to do a round cut. So when somebody is born again, not only is that a work of creation where something is created in them and they are called unto spiritual life and they are regenerated, they're born from above, there's actually a circular cutting. That is, what direction the soul and spirit with that new spirit of God within them is headed in a separate direction as far as time is concerned, because the spirit and soul is going to be with God at the moment that it's loose from the body, whereas the body is going to go to the grave. But that's not the way God leaves it. When Jesus Christ comes back, he is going to quicken the mortal body. That's the last thing we read there. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It's coming a time when God is going to not only have the spirits of his children with him, He's going to have spirit, soul, and body all together, and his victory is going to be complete. So does God love our bodies? Yes. Yes, he loves his children, body, soul, and spirit. Now, before a child of God is born again, it's like every human being, he has a body, soul, and spirit. But prior to the new birth, the body, soul, and spirit of a human being is dead. You say, wait a minute, it's walking around. Yeah, walking around, but he's not dead in the sense that it doesn't function. The body, soul, and spirit of a human being prior to being born again is dead inasmuch as they're separate from the righteousness of God. And that's what death means in that case. Physical death is when the spirit is separate from the body. Doesn't mean the body goes away. It gets buried and goes to decay. Doesn't mean the spirit goes away. It means they're separate, so the person is physically dead. When somebody is dead in trespasses and sins, it doesn't mean they don't function. It means they are separate from God's righteousness. That's what dead in trespasses and sins means. And before a person is born again, their body is separate from God's righteousness. And their soul and spirit are separate from God's righteousness. There is a spirit, there is a soul, there is a body. They're all separate from God's righteousness, and therefore they are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, does that mean the spirit can function and know the things of man? Yes. Well, what about the body? Can it function? Yes, walking around. But can a person prior to being born again do anything in order to get God's righteousness? Can they do anything in order to approach unto God? Can they do anything to please God? No. The work has to be not only initiated, but performed by God. And he does that in a sovereign way. So it's something that we need to know is that when someone receives life and righteousness of God, it has to be done entirely by God. Well, that sets up a battle. Let me tell you why. The Spirit of God comes into the heart of a child of God, and the new man is there created in righteousness and in holiness. And there's that circumcision of the heart. There's that cutting around that happens. So there's something pure and good and longing for God within, and yet there's still the rest of the person. And within our members, that is within our bodies, there dwells a law of sin. So there's still the old man there. There's a new man and there's an old man. And that means for the remainder of that person's life on earth, from the time they're born again to the time of physical death, there's a struggle. There's a battle. There's a conflict. There's part of us that wants to do what we want to do, which is against God. And yet there's a part of us that delights in the law of God after the inward man. And that sets up a lifelong battle. You're experiencing it right now. You are. You are by trying to be in the house of God to worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are working in obedience to try to strike a blow for goodness and righteousness and obedience to God. But if you're like me, there was a part of me that didn't want to get out of bed this morning. There's a part of me that would like to claim credit for a lot of good stuff that I didn't do. There's a lot part of me that would like to deny credit for a lot of bad stuff I did do. It's just the battle that we fight. So there's a part of us that is carnal, that means of the flesh. And yet, by grace, there's a part of us that is spiritual, that is after God's Spirit. And that sets up the battle. And so the Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write about that. And he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What does that mean, they mind the things of the flesh? That is, they devote time and attention to it. If you're going to go after the flesh, you're going to devote time and attention to the things of the flesh. Now, before I go any further, let me mention this word flesh. Like all words in the Bible, you have to look at the word flesh in the context it's used in. Because I can think of three different ways right now the way flesh is used in the Bible. One, it's used to mean what we would call meat, like steak or fish or chicken. The Bible refers to the eating of those things as flesh. You can read in Deuteronomy chapter 12, notwithstanding, if thy soul desires to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh in all thy gates. He's talking about, if you would like some barbecue chicken, it's fine for you to have it right there in the place that you live. So flesh can mean what you and I would call meat. Flesh can also mean your body. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. That is, if your body's hurting, you're going to take it to a doctor, try to get some help. So it can mean body. So it can mean meat that you eat, or it can mean your body, or it can mean that part of you that is against God. How are you to know which one it's talking about in flesh? Well, it's in context. If you read, thou mayest kill and eat flesh, you're talking about meat. If you're talking about no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, you tell it's talking about the health of your body. But when you read something like this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Which one do you want to follow? The things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit? What does that mean, the flesh, in this instance? Brother Mike actually referred to a scripture that gives us some insights into that. Galatians chapter 5. Listen to verse 19 and 20, and well, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean that people have done such things will never get to heaven. It means they don't enter into righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost here if you're engaged in those activities. So that lets us know what, in context, the flesh means here. Flesh means that which opposes the love and light and peace and joy of God's Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That is, if you want to follow those things, you pay attention and you put effort on those things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnally means flesh minded. To be carnally minded is death. That is, those kinds of activities and mindsets will cut you off from God's fellowship. It will cause you to be far from God, and that will be a separation of you from God in friendship and fellowship. He's not going to go right along into those activities with you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to lose you. But if you go off in following the flesh, He's not going to follow with you. And so you don't lose a relationship, but you do lose a good bit of fellowship in this world, and it's a serious loss. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That is, if you're following the Holy Spirit, especially what the Holy Spirit reveals in Scripture, you're living in that kind of way, then you enjoy that connection with God, and enjoying that connection and fellowship with God That's peace. That's having peace of mind. That's having tranquility and calmness right here, even in, as you dwell in this world. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Notice what he's talking about as he talks about the flesh. He calls it the carnal mind. The flesh is actually has to do with your mind. What he's calling, following they that are after the flesh, and is the carnal mind. Flesh in this context actually means a way of thinking and therefore a way of acting in that. So you're thinking that, and as he says, the carnal mind, that minding of the flesh, is enmity against God. Wouldn't you agree with those things that we read in Galatians 5? Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, murder, drunkenness, revelings. Wouldn't you agree that that's making yourself act like an enemy of God? That's what he's saying here. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, doesn't like God's laws, whereas the inward man delights in the law of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's not going to pay the price for breaking the law of God? No. No. You break the law of God, if you're not a child of God, you're going to face the lake of fire. If you are a child of God, you're going to find his chastisement as a good father. There's going to be that for every human being. But it means there that it cannot be subject to the law of God, because it's not, the carnal mind is not delighting in God's law, seeing how wonderful it is. Sometimes read Psalm 19. And there, someone following the Spirit talks about the law of God and says there that your law is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Thy laws are more precious than fine gold. That they are a delight and a blessing to people. The spiritual mind looks at the law of God and thinks, wow, you know, it's by God's commandment that light came out of darkness. It's by God's commandment that God separated the waters and formed heaven. It's by God's commandment that dry land appeared, and plants and animals and the sun, stars and moon. It's by God's commandment that cattle and creeping things were on the earth. It's by God's commandment that human beings were created. It's by God's commandment that people are born again. It's God's commandment, and his laws are beautiful. They're wonderful. They're glorious. They're more precious than fine gold. You know what the only thing wrong with God's commandments and God's laws is? That in my fallen state, I can't keep them. I need someone to keep it for me. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did by his perfect life, his perfect death, his perfect atonement, his redemption. And then God showed his approval of that redemption by the resurrection. And so there we have the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Doesn't delight in God's law. Doesn't obey God's law. Then it says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now what does Paul mean? Does that mean because you happen to right now dwell in your body, you can't please God? No, that's not what it's talking about. Doesn't say, so then they that are in their bodies cannot please God. In the flesh. Talking about this contextual usage of the word flesh. Flesh here means that which prioritizes the desires of fallen man over the laws of a holy God. It's those very things we read in Galatians 5, adultery, lasciviousness, drunkenness, revelings, murders. They that are in the flesh, they that they're putting their time and attention on that, cannot please God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now were the folks, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. Were the members of the church of Rome outside of their bodies. He just wrote to them, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Did that mean those were not real people? No. These were real people, both Jews and Gentiles. Some were in their Jewish bodies and some were in their Gentile bodies, and all of them were in their bodies reading this. But it meant they were not in the flesh in rebellion against God. So they were in their bodies, but they weren't minding and prioritizing their own desires for lasciviousness, revelings, drunkenness, murders, fornication. They weren't doing that. The Spirit of God was in them, and they were trying to follow God's Spirit in love and joy, peace, gentleness, temperance. So he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. They had been born again by God's Spirit. They were trying to follow God's Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If somebody does not have the Spirit of Christ in them, if they haven't been born again, they are not God's. Now, the case could be they're not yet born again, and so they're God's as far as election and redemption. They've been chosen by God. Their sins have been paid for. But as far as that living connection, the life of God within them, that does not happen until God causes them to be born again. So he says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If you are born again, your body still has the law of sin dwelling in the members. And what God said to Adam is still going to happen to us. From dust thou wast taken, from the earth thou wast taken, and to the earth thou shalt return. So the body there's still something that separates us with the law of sin in the members. We're still going to physically die. So he says there, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because he has caused that righteous indwelling for you, you're not going to die spiritually. You, right now, child of God, born again, you are right now in possession of life everlasting. It's not you're going to be safe when you get to heaven. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you are just as secure in God's love and life now as you will be then. So, why is it so good to finally get there? Because then you can see that clearly. If you're like me right now, okay, the preacher says that, the Bible says that, but sometimes I have my doubts. You know, I hope I have an inheritance in heaven. And sometimes it seems mighty clear, but sometimes it's rather cloudy. And that's why the old hymn is written. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. You know, the only thing wrong with that verse is you don't have to wipe your weeping eyes. God's going to do that for you. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. He shall wipe away your tears. And then it says there will be no more crying. I get the impression you arrive at home, the Lord wipes your tears, and that's it. They're wiped. Isn't that a good thought? So right now, you are as secure in God's objective truth as you will be when you arrive at heaven. But what are you not as secure in? Your subjective perception. When you get there, you will be more secure in knowing what God knows right now. That if you're His child, He's not going to lose you. You are secure in His love. So it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is, If you're His, He's caused you to be born again. One day, not only will your spirit be with Him, since it lives forever, but the spirit of Him that dwells in you, that's Jesus Christ, shall quicken your mortal bodies. What does quicken mean? It means to call. It means to make alive. It means to bring back. It means to, and in this case, it means to glorify. Because the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trump. Then they which are dead in Christ, they which are asleep in Christ, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. Caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord's going to quicken the bodies of His children. Does that not tell you that God loves your body? Amen. Now, let me conclude with one more thought. Since God loves you, spirit, soul, and body, and in particular, the point of this message, He loves your body. Should you not keep your body in honor to Him? I see so many children of God that suffer as a result of not doing this. Some, it's substance abuse. It could be alcohol. It could be prescriptions. It could be illegal drugs. It could be too much food. It could be too little food. It could be underactivity. It could be overactivity. There's a moderation. There's a way. Does that mean you can have perfect health? No. We're all subject to injuries, disease, genetic deficiencies. That's just the nature of sin. None of us are going to have a perfect body. But since God loves our bodies and intends to raise them, during this time when we're here on earth and the law of sin dwells in our members, should we still not know how to possess our vessels with honor? And that means we don't use them to excess. We don't use them in ungodly activities. We actually use our bodies to, from time to time, lift up our hands and praise God and sing. We use our bodies to help one another. If you help somebody get up out of a chair that's having a hard time, if you use your body to cool down somebody who's got a hot head with a fever, if you use your body to minister to somebody and wash their feet or shine their shoes or iron their shirt, the use of your body in glorifying God in praise and serving other people, God loves your body. You ought to love your body. And if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, you have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. One day, the day is going to dawn and the bright and morning star, which is Jesus Christ, is going to appear in the heavens. And when He does, not only will the earth light up, but do you know what will happen to you, child of God? The day star will rise in your heart. Not only will Jesus Christ be coming above from heaven, but the Spirit of Christ, which dwells in you, is going to transform you. Whether you're in the grave or whether you're walking around here on the day He comes, I wish it were today. I wish He were coming, but He may not. Maybe another 5,000 years, but it doesn't matter. The point is, either He's coming for us or we're going to Him. But even if we go to Him before that time, one day He is coming, and the day's going to dawn, and the day star is going to arise in your hearts and transform you and glorify your mortal bodies to become an immortal body, glorified like Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, You're so great, so marvelous, so wonderful. Come quickly, Lord. We wait for Your return. Oh, Father, as we wait, help us to praise you, use our bodies in praise to you and in service to others, and love you, Lord, with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you for all these that are gathered here, Lord, to worship. Thank you for those that are watching online, dear Father. We pray that that we'll have courage in this day. Lord, we know you command us to be of good courage, and you shall strengthen our heart. Therefore, Lord, help us to be as cheerful as we can, courageous as we can. Turn this nation back to you, Lord. Help us as individuals to turn to you as more closely than we ever have. And thank you, dear God, for loving us, even loving these bodies. Lord, help us to love one another. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.